Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird speaking. Today we will continue in our current series of studies, The Return of Christ. And the study which we wish to consider today is the prospect of Christ's return. Now, I chose this title, The Prospect, advisedly, and not simply to preserve the alliteration of the titles. But the titles, as you will recall, are The Promise of Christ's Return, The Purpose of Christ's Return, today on the broadcast, The Prospect of Christ's Return, The Plea for Christ's Return, and The Power of Christ's Return to Follow. Now, the question might be asked, why did you use the term prospect of Christ's coming? Well, Webster's Dictionary says that prospect means the act of looking forward. It's the act of anticipation. Then the question arises, when will Christ come? Can we know? We're going to try to answer it on this broadcast. And we will go back, clear back to the scriptures themselves to see the early attempts to pinpoint his return. People were curious in that day, and they came to wrong conclusions, just as they are today, about when Christ is returning. I'm thinking particularly of the 21st chapter of John's Gospel. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, you might like to read with us and see how that in the early days there was even this attempt to pinpoint his return. All right. John chapter 21 and verse 18, we read there. The Lord is just about to leave his disciples. He's just about to ascend into heaven. He has some instructions for Peter. And he says in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkedest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This is the Lord telling Peter of his martyrdom. Peter mentions it in his epistles. He knew what the Lord was talking about. Did you notice, please, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. All right. Someone could have said in that age, someone could have said, well, Christ is not coming till Peter dies, because he told him he was going to die as a martyr. Now, we're going to deal with not pinpointing the date of the Lord's return, and later we will deal with the pinpointing of the Lord's return. They could have said that about Peter. The Lord can't come until Peter is martyred. Now, Peter was martyred. As a matter of fact, history tells us he was crucified upside down at his own request, because he did not feel worthy to be crucified as the Lord was. Now, we go on. This spake he, signifying what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, that disciple was John, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now Peter said that because he was older than much older than John, and he had a concern for John's welfare. What shall this man do? Listen to the Lord's return his return remark to Peter. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went abroad this saying among the brethren, and that the disciples that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now you see how they misunderstood the Lord, how they put the wrong conclusion on what he's going to say. Now actually, John outlived all the other disciples. All the other disciples were martyrdom, entered martyrdom. and John died on the Isle of Patmos, an exile, in the age of the 90s. As far as they were concerned, they took that thought to their grave, that the Lord would come in connection with John's survival. The Lord said, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." They drew wrong conclusions in that age, just the same as they are drawing them today. It's interesting to anticipate, when is he coming? I heard of a man who takes the title of a minister who said, "Oh, we can't be bothered with that. They've been preaching that for 300 years and he hasn't come back yet. Let's tackle the problems of our age." But men are still curious, when is Christ coming? We're going to try to answer the question on this broadcast. All right. Paul's revelation to him in 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7 are given to us, and we're going to read them. "For I am now ready to be offered," he says to Timothy in this final letter to Timothy, "and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Paul was in his 60s when he made these remarks to Timothy. And he says, "The time of my martyrdom is at hand." Now, we could look at Paul and say, "Well, Paul has got to be martyred the same as Peter. The Lord can't come until Paul is martyred." We could say that, but it wouldn't mean anything, would it? I think of a facetious modern example of false conclusion. A group of Bible teachers one day were talking about their dates and their speaking dates. One man says, "I don't engage my speaking dates too far ahead because something may interfere with me fulfilling them." Another man says, "I arrange my dates far in advance." He says, "I know where I'll be speaking 6 months from today." And one of the men with a twinkle in his eye said, one of the other men said, "Well, we know the Lord isn't coming for at least 6 months." Well, laugh if you will, but don't we set our dates? Don't we make our plans as if he were never coming? I think we should, really, make our plans as if he were never coming, and then look for him that day to come. Because he can do that. There are going to be a lot of unfulfilled desires and plans when Christ comes. Let's let him come and in our souls be expecting that at any moment. Now let's talk about date setting in our age. Do you remember the pamphlet, 88 Reasons Why Christ Should Die, or Should Come rather, I'm sorry, 88 Reasons Why Christ Should Come in 1988. Do you remember that pamphlet? It was cleverly composed. It was very convincing. But he didn't come in 1988. Now, you know, all the effects of that pamphlet were not bad. Some of them were good. I heard of one instance where there were a number of people that got saved. The pamphlet was so convincing, and they were so sure that the man was right, that they tested their own salvation. Am I saved? Will I be caught up when the Lord comes? Am I trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus for my salvation, or in my own goodness and my own good works? And they were stirred up. I don't want to be left behind. And so they trusted Christ. But there were some bad effects too. There were the bad effects in saying, "Well, it's all a myth. We talk about the coming of the Lord, and he doesn't come. It's all a myth." There were bad effects too. But thank God for the good effects. Hey, Christ is coming back. Now, there are general indications of his coming in the Scripture. Very general in their nature. For instance, in Hebrews 10 and 25, we read there, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." What day? Well, this was written to the church, the day of the church's rapture, when the Lord is coming. And also, in for instance, in 2 Timothy, Paul's letter to Second Timothy, third chapter. Listen to him. He says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." I want to ask you, are these the perilous times when children are carrying firearms to school and they have to have metal detectors to keep those children from murdering other children? When your house is likely to be shot at from the street? When people are shot by passers-by? Are those perilous times coming here? They ought to make us think, shouldn't they? Now, we can't say definitely, can we? Of course not. Paul goes on, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." What about homosexuality? Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Are these conditions prevailing today? There couldn't possibly be a newspaper article more accurate of our day than this that Paul has written. And this should quicken our pulse. That day there are perilous times. What? In the last days. Perilous times shall come. Are they here? I think they are. All right, now we cannot seize upon anything to indicate a definite time. But now here is the answer to the question which we raised at the beginning of the broadcast. When is Christ coming? The Lord tells us himself. Matthew 24 and verse 36, he tells us in that wonderful scripture, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come when the Father tells him, "Step to the air and claim your bride. Bring her home to heaven." The secret lies with the Father. He alone knows. The angels don't know. We don't know when he's coming. But we are to be on the tiptoe of anticipation, carrying on business as usual, but in our hearts listening for that rapturing shout of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a thrill to anticipate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and certainly the indications of the day should quicken our pulse to make us realize it can't be long now. It can't be long till we hear that rapturing shout, and we shall be caught up into the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our Father, today we thank you for the bright and blessed hope of Christ's coming. May it take priority in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.